This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
No More Tears, and a very fitting song, really. Marcy Shymoff is the author of the new instant runaway bestseller Happy For No Reason, 7 Steps To Be Happy From The Inside Out, which offers a revolutionary approach to experiencing deep and lasting happiness. And the book actually debuted on many bestsellers' lists. Of course, you may know Marcy from being the woman's face of one of the biggest self-help book series in history, Chicken Soup for the Soul, contributing 6 best-selling titles from the series, including Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul. Now, it gives me great pleasure to talk to one of the world's leading experts on happiness, success, and the law of attraction, Marcy Shymoff. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, I am so happy for great reason to be with you.
Oh, beautiful. Now, happiness seems to be really hot these days. Everyone seems to be talking about it. I know it was on the cover of Time magazine. Your book about happiness debuted on the New York Times bestseller at number 2. Why is everyone so interested in happiness?
Well, happiness is hot these days, I think, for 2 main reasons. One is that we have an epidemic of unhappiness in our societies. In modern society, it's estimated that 1 out of 5 women is on antidepressants.
Wow.
Which is just staggering. So we have this real, even though we're working harder than ever and we often have more than we've ever had before, we're actually unhappier than ever. The second reason, though, that happiness is so hot is that we, science, for the first time in human history, is cracking the code on happiness. They're finding out what it actually takes to make people happy, and I think that should be headline news.
So in preparing for your book, you actually did a bit of research on happiness. What was one of the most exciting things you learned from the research?
Well, one of the most important things is that we all have a happiness set point. You know, people think, oh, so-and-so was just born happy. Well, that's actually only half of the equation. Here's the deal. We all have this happiness set point, and no matter what happens to us, whether good or bad, we will hover around that same happiness set point. So, for example, if you win the lottery, which people think, wow, that's the golden ticket to happiness, within a year, people who've won the lottery have returned to their original happiness level. And shockingly, the same is true of people who've become paraplegic. Within a year, they have also returned to their original happiness level. So it's not the outside circumstances that matter. It's the set point. And this happiness set point is 50% genetic. You're born with it. And the other 50% is learned. It's our habits of thoughts and behavior. And that's the piece that we can do something about to raise our happiness level.
So you're not stuck with the same happiness set point for your whole life. It is possible to raise it?
Absolutely. And, that's the really great news, is that we really have this amazing ability to raise our happiness level. And in fact, when I was working on the book Happy For No Reason, I interviewed 100 unconditionally happy people, people who have this state of lasting happiness. And I found something really interesting, which was about 85% of them were not happy, were not born happy. They really had to develop the habits of happy people. And that's what really makes the difference.
So does that mean those people were happy all of the time?
No, they weren't. What it means is that they, for the most part, many of them went through a crisis in their life that caused them to change their habits in such a way that they established a higher level of happiness. But being happy for no reason doesn't mean that you're walking around 24/7 with a silly grin on your face in some Pollyanna state of denial. You'll still feel sad. You'll still feel angry. You'll still have grief. But what it means is you'll have this inner core of peace and well-being that you take with you wherever you go. So even when you're going through periods perhaps of sadness or anger, you go through them more quickly, you're more resilient, and you have that sort of inner backdrop of peace and happiness.
And I'm guessing those people probably would be able to deal with negative times in their life better?
Absolutely. You know, it's like you have a stronger immune system. You know, when we have a strong immune system physically, we're able to fight away colds more easily. When you have a higher level of happiness, you have a stronger emotional immune system, and you're able to deal with or bounce back from adversity more quickly and easily.
Someone may have read your book and they've identified that they've got a happiness set point. How would they actually, or how can someone raise their happiness set point?
Well, it's very simple, actually. Not necessarily easy, but simple.
Uh-huh.
And that is the only difference between people who are happy and everybody else is that they have different habits. And I found that there were 21 core habits that anyone can practice to raise their happiness set point. And you don't have to practice them all at once. In fact, I tell people, just do one at a time for a few weeks and then try another one. And what happens is, steadily, you will raise your happiness level through just engendering these new habits that have to do with your mind, your heart, your body, your soul, your relationships, your purpose in life.
Can you give me a couple of examples of those 21 habits?
Sure. Why don't I pick one from the level of the mind and one from the level of the body and one from the level of the heart.
Sounds perfect.
Start with the heart, because
okay.
I love the heart.
Good
gratitude.
Choice.
Really simple. The Institute of Heart Math is the world's leading researcher on the heart. They found that when we're feeling grateful, appreciative, caring, we actually go into what's called heart rhythm coherence. And the more we're in heart rhythm coherence, the happier we are. So a very simple practice of gratitude every day before you go to sleep, writing down 5 things you're grateful for that day, will help put you in a greater state of gratitude and happiness.
Would it also be important not just to write those things down as though it being like an automatic task, but actually feeling that gratitude as well and identifying that you are grateful for those things?
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. It's one thing to recognize it from the level of the mind, but it's a much deeper shift to feel and experience the gratitude. So while the first one will work, if someone's really in a funk, it's hard to get them to feel that gratitude. It's the first step is to just recognize it. Then the deeper step is to actually experience it with your heart.
Got you. Okay, so one for the mind?
One for the mind. Don't believe everything you think.
Ah.
You know, just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it's true. And in fact, researchers say that we have 60,000 thoughts a day. For the average person, 80% of them are negative. We have this thing called a negativity bias, which means that we Velcro the negative to us. It means that the negative things stick to us, whereas the positive things are more like Teflon. They just slide off of us. I call it the Velcro-Teflon ratio.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, if you get 10 compliments in a day and 1 criticism, what do you remember at the end of the day?
You'll be remembering the criticism.
Most people are remembering the criticism because that's what's been Velcroed to them. The happier person has reversed that ratio. They register the positive more deeply. They take note of it. So if you get a compliment, they take it in. They acknowledge it. They say, thank you. You know, if somebody says to you, wow, you're so creative in your work, rather than saying, oh, no, it was just my assistant who did this for me or whatever, instead of deflecting the compliment, take it in and say, thank you. I love being able to be creative whenever I can.
And that would be a deliberate action of just where you give your attention to, really. Is that right?
Of course. You know, there's that simple principle that what we put our attention on is what grows stronger in our life. And when we focus on what is working or the positives in life, that's what we get more of. Simple law of attraction.
Yes, yes. Now, one tip for the, what do we got, the body?
Oh, the body.
Yes.
Let's do something for the body.
Yes.
Sleep. Do you know that in 1960, the average person slept 8 hours a night? Now, the average person sleeps 6.5 hours a night. It's the first time in human history that we have taken such a dramatic shift over a short period of 40 or 50 years in a major habit of ours. And the truth is that most of us need 8 hours of sleep a night. And when we don't get it, our happiness level goes down. In fact, the research shows that getting a good night's sleep can do more for our happiness than our marital status or our income.
Wow. And I'm guessing also, although people go, oh, I don't have time to sleep 8 hours, you probably, if you get your 8 hours sleep, you'll be a lot more productive and get more done each hour that you are awake.
It's very true, you know. I absolutely agree with that. And the other thing, here's a little tip. The hours of sleep you get before midnight are twice as valuable as the hours of sleep that you get after midnight, based on our circadian cycles and our rhythms. What they say is if you go to bed before 10 at night, you're activating a different system that helps you sleep more deeply through the night. So what I tell people is if they're feeling a little down, go to sleep 3 nights in a row before 10 o'clock and see what happens on the morning of the fourth day.
So it'd be better to go to bed early and get up early rather than
That's
go to bed late and get up late.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know if you all know our famous phrase here that Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Very good.
Is that an expression that people know in Australia?
I'm not familiar with it myself, but some others in Australia might be familiar with it, but it's a very good one. I think we need to get familiar with it.
Yes, so it's just a little rhyme. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
I like it. Now, you mentioned a second ago the law of attraction. What's your formula for applying the law of attraction with happiness?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that most people who learn about the law of attraction think, oh, wow, this is fabulous. I'm now going to use the law of attraction to gather all the goodies that I wanted in my life, a better car, a better house. Now, I have nothing against getting all the goodies in life, but we've got it backwards. And what we have backwards is we think that having all these goodies is going to bring us happiness. But the truth of the law of attraction is that it works the other way around, that happiness is what brings us the goodies. That when we raise our happiness level, we're raising our energetic vibration, and we're more likely to attract to us what we want in our lives. And I'll just share with you a little quote from Rhonda Byrne, who I know is Australian and who was the creator of The Secret. And she says, in the book, The Secret, she says, I want to let you in on a secret to The Secret. The shortcut to anything that you want in your life is to be and feel happy now. It's the fastest way to bring money and anything else you want into your life. Set your thoughts and frequency on happiness.
I like it. Very nice.
Yeah.
Because when you're happy as well, you tend to be more open and receptive to the world. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely. You know, when you're happier, you see more of the opportunities that are out there. More people want to do business with you. I mean, if you have the option of doing business with someone who is miserable and depressed, and you have to listen to them complaining all the time, or do business with someone who's happy and uplifting, all other things being equal, who are you going to choose?
That's a no-brainer question. Everyone would choose the happy person, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. So if we do better in our lives by just raising our own energetic vibration or our happiness level, and then people are drawn to us. I believe it's the way we attract all good to us.
Now, you talk about the myths that block or sabotage our happiness. What are those?
Well, there are two main myths that I think block our happiness, and they're closely related. One of them I call the myth of more, and that's the myth that says the more I have, the happier I'll be. Well, research shows that it's not true, that money and possessions really have little bearing on our happiness level once we have reached above the poverty line. So once we're able to really handle our basic needs, which I'm assuming that everybody who's listening to this show is above the poverty line, no amount of money will make us happier. And in fact, the Forbes wealthiest people in the world list lists the 100 wealthiest people in the world. It turns out they're more depressed than most people.
Because as your income increases, so does your responsibilities and your things like that as well, doesn't it? So it's not.
And your fear of losing what it is you have, and you've come to think that your happiness is dependent upon those things, and I better hang on to this. And then if the stock market crashes or we find troubles in the economy, then our happiness dives with that. And what we're talking about is creating an inner state of peace and well-being so that it doesn't depend on your outer circumstances, so that you bring your happiness to your life experiences rather than try to extract your happiness from life.
Now,
so that's the first myth. And then the second myth is the myth of I'll be happy when. And it's the myth that when I just lose 20 pounds, or when I get the right husband, or a different husband, then I'll be happy. It's putting our happiness off into a future time, when in fact the way to create happiness in the future is to put into practice happiness in the moment.
One of your principles for Happy for No Reason is to let love lead. Would that be one way you'd recommend?
It would be one way. You know, love is, I believe, the highest energetic vibration on the planet. And I'll tell you a quick story from one of the people that I interviewed for Happy for No Reason. Her name is CJ, and CJ was very miserable. She was very depressed. She had lupus, which is an autoimmune disease that has a lot of symptoms. She had a lot of pain. She had a hard time getting around, would often use a walker or a wheelchair to get around. And she heard about a very simple practice called loving kindness practice. And she decided, I'll try this. I have nothing to lose. And she made a commitment to herself to do this practice for a year. And the practice was simply to every day send wishes of happiness, peace, and well-being to everybody that she saw. And her particular wish went like this: may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live with ease. She would silently in her heart send that wish to everybody that she would see in her day, the people in the grocery store, the people on the highway she would pass, her family members, her coworkers. Now, I can't tell you what happened to these people, but I can tell you what happened to her after a year of doing this practice. Her happiness level soared. She was out of the wheelchair. She's now exercising 3 times a week. She is completely symptom-free, and the doctors tell her that it's a medical miracle. The only thing that she did differently was to silently in her heart wish other people well.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't take any time. So I say to people, just try it out for the next week. Everybody that you have, you're standing in the grocery store, you're in traffic, just silently in your heart, send a wish of happiness, peace, and well-being to the people you see, and see if in a couple weeks you don't feel better.
Can our shift towards greater happiness improve the lives of those around us and the world as well as our own lives?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because we don't live in a vacuum. In fact, we catch the emotions of the people around us just like we catch their colds. It's called emotional contagion. And it's said, in fact, that we become the average of the 5 people that we associate with the most. So I tell people, make a list of the 5 people you spend the most time with and see if they have the emotions that you want to catch. So I think the most unselfish thing that we can do for the world is to raise our own happiness level, because in doing so, we're affecting the people all around us all day long.
Marcy, I want to ask you a bit of a personal question. You wrote the book Happy for No Reason. So were you born happy, or do you have to work on it?
I was not born happy. I didn't win the happiness jackpot at birth. I came out of the womb with existential angst. But I was very lucky, because I had a father who was the happiest person I'd ever met in my life. He passed away a couple years ago at age 91. And every morning he woke up with a big smile on his face. I remember one day when I was about 19, he and I were driving down the road, and I looked at him and I said, "So, Dad, what's your best advice for life?" And he looked at me and he said 4 words. He said, "Honey, just be happy." Well, I was so frustrated with that answer that I said to him, "Oh, Dad, that's so easy for you to say because you were born that way, but I wasn't. What do I do?" He looked at me and he said 4 more words. He said, "Honey, I don't know." And that was when I decided that I was going to do something about my happiness level. I was going to find out what it takes. And I have to tell you that I have spent the last 31 years since that day when I was 19 years old, and I have really, really raised my happiness level. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have difficult times, hard challenges that come up, but I honestly can say that I have a deeper, stronger core level of inner happiness by practicing these tools.
So basically, being happy doesn't come from having the perfect life, the perfect car, the perfect house, the perfect partner, or anything like that. It's basically, happiness comes from a conscious internal decision to be happy.
You are 100% right.
Well, Marcy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us today on All Natural. Of course, if you'd like to find out more, you can go to happyfornoreason.com or marcyshymoff.com to find out all about your book, Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, and all the other great work that you do as well.
Well, thank you. I've had a delightful time being on the line with you, and I appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. That's Marcy Shymoff. Once again, those websites, happyfornoreason.com or marcyshymoff.com. Find out all about her books and everything else that she does. Fascinating, really easy to get through and navigate websites they are as well. Of course, if you need those addresses, they'll be on my blog later on today. You're on All Natural with Adam Barrillet.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.